Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinmurn. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
Welcome to the Startup Addict Epic.
Wait, why are you starting?
Okay.
Because he dropped his headphones.
I was from my pen.
Dennis has just been telling us he's had too much coffee. His hands are shaking. He's all over the fucking place.
Okay.
And well, first, that's never happened before on the Startup Addict is right as he's so excited to do the introduction, his headphones flew off and he dropped his pen simultaneously.
You'll see it on YouTube. That's pretty awesome. Good job, Julio. That was really good. Hey, did you see that?
Right when you said,
thanks
right?
for picking up this slack.
Right when you said you'll see it on YouTube, Julio said, oh shit. He started pushing buttons.
Fuck, I forgot to record that.
All right. Welcome to episode 29.5. And today we're going to be talking about loyalty, which I think.
Hey, you're still here.
Yeah, I'm still here for some reason.
Did you get a new sweatshirt for this episode?
Yeah, brand new.
Nice.
You like it?
I can tell.
The zippers are super blinged out.
I can tell it's brand new.
Yeah, I wear it with a lot of pride. And
how many shirts do you have on? You have three shirts on?
Yeah, I'm super cold.
I'm sweating.
Really?
It's warm.
Well, we'll see how this podcast goes. I'll take it off later.
Watch live on YouTube.
Watch on YouTube.
That you will be able to see.
Yes.
It is being recorded.
So loyalty, how does that relate to business? In general. Or in sports.
Do you want any specifics?
Yeah, let's just... we should talk about sports, loyalty to the Jaguars.
The Jaguars.
Yeah, we're still there.
Yeah.
First loss, and we're still good.
Yeah.
Except for Julio, who's wearing a fucking Niners jacket.
I'm loyal to Jimmy G, even though he's hurt.
Yeah. Why do people get loyal to sports teams? I don't get that.
I don't know. So I was thinking of this topic when posted a tweet, or I don't know if it was Instagram, whatever, last week. On Sunday, when the Jaguars were going to play the Titans.
Yes.
So I posted a Jaguar roaring. Said, let's go, Jagwagon. Mm-hmm. There's still room. And got comments that were like, the fuck did you become a Jaguars fan? First comment was from Josh Thompson. He's like, oh, you just bail on the Raiders when they start to suck? Like, fucking bandwagoner. And then the second comment was from my friend Tripp that was like, what the hell? I thought you would have gone back to the Browns. So I was a Raider fan. When the Raiders moved to LA when I was a kid, I became a Browns fan. I was a Browns fan for a long time. Then the Browns moved to Baltimore. And then the Raiders moved back to Oakland. So I went back to Oakland. So I had to explain all that. And then Rod Streeter, he jumped in.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. And he just signed with the Browns. And he said... Hey, he saw the post where Tripp said, I thought you would have gone back to the Browns. And so I replied and said, well, I might have taken the Browns if I knew Rod Streeter was going to sign there. And so then he jumped in and said, hey, it's not too late. It's only week four. You can still join Believe Land. And it was like, well, and I've like, no, because I've been a fucking Jags fan for 3 months. I can't turn my back on him now.
I'm all in.
But the weird thing about sports is it does make you like, A, there's this judgment, right? Of like, you need to be loyal to your team, right? It doesn't matter. I guess with the Raiders, a good example. They're moving for the second time, but there's still a debate like, oh, you're not a real Raider fan. You're not going to follow them to Vegas. Like, well, they're not a real fucking me fan. They're moving to Vegas, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the idea of like arbitrarily just picking a team all the time. Like, what's wrong with that, right? If you just said this year, this is going to be my team this year. I'm going to pick it, right? And then there's, like how other things affect it, right? So the reason the Browns would have been tough, I thought about the Browns around Jaguar time when we're trying to decide like what would be a fun team to support.
Just to clarify, Browns is a football team, right?
Yeah, in Cleveland.
Just want to make sure.
I was trying to figure out like what would be a fun team to support. He just made Julio almost spit his coffee up and cry. And then what are you holding your breath for, Julio?
I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm just
stops you from laughing?
Yeah.
So then but then because being Warriors fans, LeBron kind of fucked up anything Cleveland related, right? You like can't stand the Cavs. So that affects the Browns in a weird way. So now it would feel weird to support the Browns because it'd almost be like you're supporting Cleveland. And Cleveland is the fucking Cavs. So sports is interesting, I think, for probably, I don't know how this relates to business, but it'd be great if you could have a business that had the same kind of, created the same kind of feelings in people, right?
Like brand loyalty.
Yeah, Apple.
Apple has that same.
Oh, you guys bought new watches, didn't you? And new laptops and new stuff. Yeah. I didn't get shit.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how much it costs as long as it's.
I guess that's a good point. I don't know.
Apple, Nike, Starbucks. People, I mean, people are like, oh, I go to Starbucks every day and get a Starbucks, right? I'm loyal to Starbucks. So I think that I was just talking about this morning. Like, that's how loyalty to a brand is how, you know, why are you loyal to a brand? Well, my dad wore those jeans and so I wore those jeans. And why do you buy the same, you know, why do you buy a Chevy, right? Well, my grandfather bought a Chevy and he bought a Chevy, right? Like that kind of loyalty presses on. I think it's the same thing as sports, right? I always think, oh, why are you a sports fan? Why do you root for this team? Well, where does it usually start? It usually starts in the house. Your mom or your dad was watching something, and then you're like, oh, well, that'll be my team, right? And that's how it goes forward. And I think that that translates to business every single day. Like, I guess you could take it down the more dark road, which is, you know, the Philip Morris was doing this for years, right? Like, if we can make sure we get these, get everyone locked in early, and kids, they'll build that brand loyalty, right? Moving forward, they'll smoke that same pack of cigarettes the rest of their lives. So
how do you build loyalty? Let's say if you want to start a brand, what's the process?
I think that's the tough part.
Anyone knows.
Yeah. Another weird one is I might be joining you on the too much coffee wagon.
Really?
There you go.
Excellent.
Great.
You said loyalty.
Loyalty. Loyalty.
I mean, it's like the same, right? When we were kids, for some reason, you just don't wear Nike and Adidas.
Nope.
And so now, as older, I find myself every once in a while looking down and being like, shit, I got fucking...
That's like choosing whether you want to wear black or white.
Yeah.
What's your favorite, or wear
black and
white. No, I'm saying what color, or what you are, should
we,
you prefer
should we
black
start
white?
A tally of worst analogies ever?
No.
Is this spy versus spy?
What I'm saying
I might
is,
have the top 10, but Julio just jumped into the top 10.
There's a very clear juxtaposition between Adidas and Nike.
Right, you're on the coffee problem, too.
No, I'm not.
No, but yeah, so like...
Or coffee and tea.
Yeah. So now I look down, it just doesn't seem right if you have like Nike shoes and Adidas socks on, right? And I'll notice like, but then I'll notice I would never even have thought of doing it. Like it would never have even happened accidentally, right? And then I notice like Luke one day, maybe I'll get him dressed and I'm like, oh shit, he's got fucking Adidas shoes on, but he's still wearing Nike socks. And you can see the little swoosh right above the Adidas. That doesn't make sense. And then I'll find myself like...
But I think that's a small percentage because
you don't have that...
No, most people are just like, whatever, put it on, right? I think probably when we were young, it was more like that. But I think now it's just... people are like, okay, cool. I got some socks. I got some shoes.
I think it could be the same thing with teams too, right? So there'll be the younger... So it started off where there was no fucking TV... radio, I don't know the one timeline of all this shit, but you just went to see your local team because that was the only one you could see.
Yeah.
So you were going to support the Niners if you're in San Francisco because, like, you don't even fuck. Like, I remember reading about it was almost when we were kids, but we were just past it where, like, Dr. J was a myth to a whole bunch of people. Like, they'd never seen him. They just read in the paper that there was this guy, Dr. J, who could do these amazing things. And if he ever came to your town, it was like, wow, the Dr. J really exists and I'm going to watch him, right? And then after a while, it becomes like the game of the week. Right, or like we had what 4 TV channels when we were kids, and now you can watch any game anytime. So at first, it's like you have to be loyal to the Niners because like that's your only fucking team. And then after a while, you're exposed to more teams on TV, but you don't get to pick. Like right, you just whatever fucking CBS is showing. You might, if you want to be a Cowboys fan, maybe they show the Cowboys every once in a while, but you don't. And then eventually, you can see every Cowboys game. So now you could really be like, if I'm not going to the game, I can watch every Cowboys fan from my couch in San Francisco. I mean, every Cowboys game from my couch in San Francisco. So I can have the same connection to them as I would if I lived in Dallas. And then fantasy goes and fucks it up even more because now you're picking players on a team. So now everyone goes to the fantasy dilemma of like the starting quarterback on your fantasy team is playing your favorite team. What the fuck do you want to happen?
Oh, no, I don't play anyone on my fantasy team that is playing against the 49ers that week. It's just the rule that I have for myself.
You're not going to do very well in fantasy.
I won a fantasy league last year.
You did with that rule?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And then
But
I just
was it a one man league or was there other people in the league?
Who were you playing against?
It was fucking 10 teams.
Yeah, he won money.
Julio 1, Julio 2, Julio 3, Julio 4.
Nick, I like this, and I like this thought process a lot. You were talking to someone else just recently, and you had sort of the same conversation, and it made me think like maybe this is where loyalty begins, right? Like, you know, 100 years ago, you lived in Boston, so you were a Red Sox fan because you lived in that neighborhood where the Red Sox played, and therefore that person starts the loyalty brand, right? I'm loyal because, oh, hey, there's a local team. Oh, I have this in Colorado Springs where my parents live. There's a local soccer team. It started. That's my team because it started, and I know the people that run it, and I know the people that play, and like that moving forward, if I ever have children, maybe they'll be fans of it. And I think that maybe that's how a brand could... Let's think about, is there a brand locally that we support that we then will always support because, oh, we lived in that neighborhood where that brand got started. We knew the owner. We knew those people. And therefore, we'll always buy that from them because we like the quality of it. We like them as, I think, family-run restaurants too, yeah. Right? You're real loyal to family-run restaurants because it's in your neighborhood. You like the people. You know you're supporting them. You're helping their kids go to college or whatever. So,
probably In-N-Out to some capacity, right? It's like they're only in Southern California. So if you're from Southern California, you're like, oh, fuck Five Guys.
Yeah, I swear by those.
Yeah,
In-N-Out. I was looking at Phil's. Phil's is local here.
Right. But I think it's a lot harder in today's day and age where I think, you know, even a couple of decades ago, it was easier to get these local brands and do it. And now everything's become so globalized and it's so easy and there's so many different ones. I mean, you can go on the internet right now and buy clothes from anywhere in the world. Any label, any kind, and that goes to pretty much everything, right? Computers, phones, pens, paper. I mean, there's no, like, what is it to be local? And I think that, you know, as we're aging, the next, you know, this next generation doesn't have any thought process on that at all, right? Like, they're just like, if I need something, I'll go to the internet and buy it. And so I know that we, on the last brand that we worked on, Dunk Contest, had a hard time. Like, how do we build that? Did we have people that were very loyal to the brand? Absolutely, right? There are a lot of people in those final days of the store coming in and being like, what do you mean you're closing? This is ridiculous. What am I was looking forward to new designs for the new season. You know, now I'm going to have to just buy this bland stuff. Like, it's not going to be any fun. But how do you get that from, you know, 100 to 300 people to 10,000?
Yeah, I think if you... Like, you have to, maybe, I'm just thinking right now. I said maybe twice just for you, Dennis.
Yes, thank you. I didn't get it the first time.
So it's maybe?
It's two-word nickname. You said, like, something in the
I don't think I was talking this fast until I saw Dennis was losing it. Now I'm fucking right there.
What was that?
Maybe as a...
There we go.
You did it again. Maybe as a new brand, we have to aspire to, like, that same timeline, right? So, well, for example... we opened Nacheria in Burlingame,
mm-hmm.
or Basecamp in Burlingame, right? And in both cases, there was a need, right? Like, at first, there was no gym downtown Burlingame, so it's like they're gonna need a gym here. So you open the gym. I don't know why my mouth all of a sudden started watering. It's hard. It's hard to talk now.
You sound
lost
great.
It.
You sound really good.
and I hope it was Nacheria, not Basecamp, to get my mouth water. So anyway,
what the hell are you doing at Basecamp?
So we have a gym, right? And there's no gym there. So in the beginning, you get customers and you get loyalty because convenience. Like, this is the gym in downtown Burlingame. Well, now it's an interesting step because now, like, Barry's Bootcamp is coming into downtown Burlingame. So there's a lot of debate internally, externally. Like, what will happen? You know, will people be like, well, regardless of the workout, right? So obviously we're like, well, Basecamp's a better workout. And I'm sure everyone at Barry's is like, Barry's is a better workout. And then, but that's kind of subjective. But beyond just the actual workout, to the brand, the thought process is, well, hopefully, because of all the time that Basecamp spent in the community and the relationships that develop between the staff and the members and those kind of things and any goodwill created, hopefully that will help and be remembered, right? And so that there'll be people that like the Basecamp workout better. There'll be some people that like the Barry's workout better. But maybe the rest of them will be more, oh, I've got brand loyalty to Basecamp. It's been here. It was here first. I've been coming. It's been a great experience. And then, so I guess that's all, you know, it's the same in a way with Nacheria, where there was other Mexican restaurants, but, you know, once Nacheria is established, people will be like, oh, there's a rumor like Tacolicious is coming in to take over one of the other Mexican restaurants or something like that, right? You got a brand that's raised a lot of money and maybe they're going to do a big marketing push and they're popular as well. So how will that affect Nacheria? So I guess in reverse, the hope is you open a business where there's a need, where you're almost like the 1950s where you can only see your local team. And then once, you know, so you focus on that, and then you kind of becomes like the 70s and 80s or 90s, whatever, where it's like, well, oh, I like Nacheria. It's kind of like this, right? And so people start talking about other restaurants that it's kind of like, but they're farther away. So then you start, you're going, okay, well, they're coming to me because, or us, because Nacheria is here, but maybe when they go to LA, they're going to some other fucking place, right? But then eventually it's going to be like the internet where, I mean, real estate is the same thing, right? A building can come open and anyone can move in. So all of a sudden, Nacheria could be the only, Basecamp could be the only place in town. All of a sudden, there could be five gyms in downtown Burlingame, or Nacheria could have three. It could be, you know, whatever, some wildly popular new Mexican chain could come in. And so all you're hoping is that you've just laid those roots down. Mm-hmm. It's just an expedited, instead of decades, it's got to happen in like months and years, right? Where you're like, how can we open a new business? And how can we connect with the community and kind of build that feeling like we've been here for a long time? We were the original ones here for the community. So that helps us defend against when people have more options, just like they did watching TV, right? Like people, just because you can see the Cowboys or the Jaguars doesn't mean all the Niners fans, doesn't even mean a high percentage of them are leaving. The majority of them are still Niners fans. Now, how could you get to that blind loyalty, right? Where they put it, I mean, the crazy thing about sports is there's a lot of people where your team, we talked about this with the Quakes and the A's, right? A's are having a great year, but in general, like the Quakes, the owner has no ambition, and overall, you'd have to argue, at least for this year, the management has no competence, right? As far as putting a really good soccer team on the field.
Agreed.
But you like, even like I've finally got to the point where I'm like, I could give a shit about the Quakes versus any other team, right? But it's not totally true. Like, it's still like, say you know a player on another team and you get a jersey and you think, well, that's what I can support that team now. But it's still, you still feel a little bit disloyal to the Quakes. I mean, you can't figure out if you feel disloyal to yourself or other Quakes fans that you jump ship. And then if the Quakes were to get their shit together, you'd still probably end up going back because you'd still built some bond over the years that wouldn't exist with whatever new team you were with. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's the, but that's interesting. That seems to be unique to sports, right? Like if I'm a Niners fan and the Niners suck, and it's clear after three games, not because of injuries, just take any random season, they have no chance, right?
Yeah.
They might go fucking 2-14. Well, what's weird is like the psychology of like fan loyalty. There's a lot of fans that'll be like, dude, there's a great game on today. It's the fucking Bears and the Vikings for the division championship. Oh, it's on the same time as the Niners games. The Niners are playing the fucking Cardinals for the worst record of the league. I'm going to watch the Niners. Why? I'm a fucking Niner fan.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you enjoy watching the Bears and Vikings? Yeah, that'd be a much better game, but I can't watch it. I'm a fucking Niner fan. I have to watch the Niners. That's where it's weird, the lore of sports. It's almost like gambling with the fucking chips. There seem to be these few things where we're just wired to like not behave rationally when we come in contact with them, right? Like a chip's not money. I fucking, here, would you want to bet $20? No. You want to bet a $20 chip? Yeah, I'll bet two of them. You know, it doesn't fucking make sense.
Do you think the blind loyalty is because sports maybe connects deeper on a deeper level, let's say, than Nike or a restaurant? That's why there's this inherent blind loyalty for, let's say, a team?
It's also the camaraderie. I think if everyone was isolated and there was no camaraderie among fans, then your feelings wouldn't be the same. But it's like you think of, yeah, like your parents, your grandparents, or your siblings, or your friends, and it's like you're not just abandoning the team, you're abandoning that like aspect of it. But I mean, imagine if you had a restaurant and everyone's like, "This, I really like your fucking restaurant. The food's been really good the last couple of years. Great. Well, listen, you know what? We appreciate you being with us the last couple of years, but like, we just want to focus on making a little money next year, so we're going to cut the quality of all of our ingredients, and our service is going to get a little slower. But it's just going to be for a year. There's a chance that the year after that we might get back to what made you like us in the first place. But just stick with us. If you could just come once or twice a week, even though the food's going to kind of suck, it's not going to be the experience you're used to. We need to make money for a little bit, and I hope that's okay with you. Everyone will be like, "Fuck you" to your restaurant, right? Yeah. But for a sports team, it's like, Oh yeah, they're rebuilding. I'm fucking down for the cause.
Yeah, this is a rebuilding year.
Yeah, I'll be there when they get back. You know, it's like it's just weird.
Yeah.
Like if I said to Luke, for example, I got him a fucking Leonard Fournette Jaguars T-shirt. I gave it to him a couple days ago. I was like, "Here, wear this to school." He's like, "Why?" I'm like, "What do you mean, why? It's a cool shirt. Look, it's fucking."
He's like, "Isn't it?"
He's like, "I don't want to wear Jaguar shirts. I'll wear it another day." I was like, "Okay." Like, so there's something, he never asked, like, I just give him whatever to wear every day, he just fucking puts it on. But there was something about this where I think even at the little bit of level there, he can't quite reconcile in his head. Don't I go to Raider games? You know, like, I think it's still a little weird for him, like, where he's like, because I was telling him on, hey, we're going to go to Raider, we had a suite for the Raiders basically his whole life. If there's going to be a tradition, and that's why when they said they were moving, I was like, well, wait, it's not going to be a tradition, then fuck it, I'm out, you know, and so, but it's weird, even to a kid, it's like slightly different, like loyalty, right? Probably happens with video games too, in some extent, like,
yeah,
you know. But I mean, he's willing to be a fucking plant or a zombie, so it's not like he has loyalty within there. But yeah, it's weird. I don't know how but I think it'd be interesting to, as we launch things, to think about like what can we learn from sports teams and that connection, and figure out why. But I just don't understand why sports aren't held to the standard. You know, like, why do you get to feel so bad for giving up on something where the owner potentially has decided, I'm not even going to fucking try to win. We're not, there's no logical reason we're going to win. And if we do win, that was a fluke based on the performance of the players, but it gives me an opportunity to capitalize on that by selling them so that next year we can go back to sucking. And it's like, it's just so fucking weird. But now I think for the A's, for example, they might have hit the tipping point of futility and pissing off a fan base, because even though they're having like a historic year, they're not getting crowds, and it's got to be, you know,
36,000 for that last game.
They got 36,000, which is still awesome. It's
pretty good.
It's good, but yeah. I mean,
but in the middle of this shit, they're still getting some like 12,000
games. If they seat 50,000 in that stadium or whatever without that upper deck, they should be getting way more people out there.
And what's hard is you feel bad for the players in a way, because the players are probably like, what the like, or it's like almost the writing's like, oh, the crowds don't support the A's. It's like, dude, the owner's tried to move out of Oakland for like 10 years. He's got a shitty facility where the fucking locker rooms flood. The amenities in the stadium are terrible. He's just dragging his fucking feet. The only reason he's trying to make a new stadium is because the league finally said, dude, enough is enough. We're not giving you any more revenue sharing. So because he didn't get any revenue sharing, he's like, fuck, I better try to build a stadium in 10 years. You know, so that's a weird one, because like, even for me, I can't get that excited about the A's of this year, just because I just can't, like, enough is enough. It's a temporary thing. So which goes back to, well, what is it that I want, right? Because I'm sitting here saying I want to be able to choose what I want. But the reason I'm not down with the A's this year is because I don't think that'll be a long-lasting thing. So
you don't feel that it'll be genuine. You don't feel that it'll be genuine. Yeah. I totally get that. I was thinking, like, when you were doing the analogies, when you were talking about Barry's moving into Burlingame, and then also just about sports teams, I was like, how much money would you have to offer me as a fan of the 49ers to rescind my fanhood?
That sounds like a challenge.
And yeah, what's the number?
Yeah, what is the number?
Maybe you might have to pay us to join the Jagwagon.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
We're not paying you shit.
Well, look, all right. So if Nick goes, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars to join the Jagwagon.
We're going to jump you into the Jagwagon.
No, I was going to joke.
I was going to say something else, but I'm glad he did it.
Yeah, please.
I know what you were thinking. That's terrible. Like, how much would I have? But I mean, if a place like Barry's comes over and tells a client over at Basecamp, I'm going to give you free membership for 2 years to stop going to Basecamp and actually come to Barry's.
Yeah, they're all gone.
They're all gone. Yeah. So, but if someone said, I'm going to give Julio, $1 million to be a fan of another team, it doesn't matter what team, as opposed to the 49ers.
Wait, hold on. That's Dennis's bullshit meter is going crazy. Dollars?
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it
for a mil.
If someone said, here's $1 million.
This is life.
Stop cheering for the Niners.
Stop cheering. Well, and pick another team.
All right, we need to get a GoFundMe going.
Okay, GoFundMe.
I'm going to test this hypothesis.
Yeah, I don't
GoFundMe.
know.
GoFundMe.com/JagWagon.
You would...
But I would do it. But then again, I would, if someone said,
just pretend, just sleep in your fucking 49er pajamas and watch
the to pick another team other than the Quakes for $1 million, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I don't have that sort of childhood connection to the team, or I wouldn't do it if it was the Giants. Hell no. And then again, if someone would give me $1 million to stop eating at Nacho-ria, I probably wouldn't do that either, just because there's loyalty that I have to.
Are you independently wealthy?
No.
I don't know what's happening here.
You just turned down $3 million. All you got to do is don't cheer for the Niners, Giants, and eat at Nacho-ria.
And ever. But then again, I've been around the restaurant for, you know, forever. I don't think I could stop going because someone offered me some money. And after tax, it's not that much.
$600,000 bullshit money.
During four years ago, during the World Cup, John Oliver did a thing on his show on HBO about football.
That's true. I do the same shit. Someone offered me $1 million to stop being a Netherlands fan. I couldn't do it.
In Great Britain. And he said, what you American fans don't understand about English football is it's like a religion. And that, like, it doesn't matter who your team is or what it is, like, you will continue to show up, you will get into a fight over it. And I think that he was wrong in the aspect of, we do understand it, right? Like, there are lots and lots of fans, with your 49er analogy, who would, no matter how bad their team is sucking, they'll show up, they'll watch, they'll tell everyone else they suck for not, like, following along even though they're having a bad year. I think that there's a religious aspect to it, and not in the, you know, the religious kind of thing, but, like, you have history in it. You believe in it. You are part of it. It is part of the social aspect of it, right? You have friends that are part of it. You've known every player for the last 20 years. You can relate to a bunch of people easily when you walk into a room, right? Like, having a sports team, and you walk into, when I went to the San Jose game a couple weeks ago, and I was wearing my Kansas City stuff, right? Like, every time someone else was wearing a Kansas City stuff, they walk up to me like, hey man, da 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 da, right? Like, it was an instant recognition. I don't know them, I don't know who they are, but, like, suddenly we're friends and we can talk about it and we have something that's shareable. So I think that's what puts sports different than a lot of other things, right? Like, just because you're wearing an Apple Watch and I'm wearing an Apple Watch, I'm not going to stop you on the road and be like, hey dude, nice watch. No, I'm not going to say that. But
really?
If you were wearing
it is really nice.
But if you were wearing the same jersey as I was and we were on the street, I'd be more likely to be like, hey man, cool, what's up? Yeah. Right.
when I was in New York last week, I was wearing my Brewers hat, and it was funny because I wasn't even thinking about the fact that I was wearing a Brewers hat.
Name one Brewers player.
Christian Yelich.
MVP candidate. It's funny, when you say name Brewers players, I just think of, like, Robin Yount, Cecil Cooper, Gorman Thomas, and Rolly Fingers. It's like I go back to, like, the 80s.
Just checking. These are people, right?
baseball players.
All right, cool.
But it was funny because people would be like, Brewers, it might be your year. And it would always be like, I would always kind of miss the first time. Like, oh, yep. And then finally I just got to the point where I was, like, just worried that they were going to ask me questions like this.
Well, that's why I asked, because I think every time I ask, I'm wearing, like, a sports team that I don't know enough about, like, I'm always like, oh fuck, someone's going to come up to me like, hey Jim, duh, blah 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 blah, be like, ah, fuck, I like the hat.
So we're sitting at the airport. No, where were we? Airport? We're somewhere, and finally I just had enough of this. I'm like, I got this anxiety over what if someone comes over and quizzes me on the fucking Brewers, or challenges my, how long have you been a fan for, and this, that, and the other. So the next guy comes up, he goes, that is the sweetest hat in baseball. And I'm like,
yes, yeah, it is.
I just, that's why I'm wearing it.
Somebody actually said that to you?
Yeah, I go, because I like the hat. So I like the hat and I'm going to root for him this year. And then I was like, Gabby's looking at me like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, almost like, just get this out. You know, it was like, the other thing it made me think of was when I worked for the Padres. Like, when I worked for the Padres, I was fucking all in on the Padres, right? I was like, they had a great year. It was the first year they made the playoffs in a long time. It reminded me of, like, when I was in probably fourth grade or whatever. It was the Cubs and, I mean, it was the Padres and the Cubs were in the NLCS, like, a long time ago, and they had Steve Garvey and shit, right? And I was a Cub killer for Halloween because I just liked the Padres for some reason. So I just wore a Padre hat and a thing, and I was a Cub killer. And I remember, but it's weird, like, you look for these things to justify. So I was like, you know what? I was always destined to be a fucking Padres fan. Now I work for the Padres. I remember when I was a little kid, I fucking had a picture of Steve Garvey on my wall, and I was a Cub killer for Halloween. Yeah, it's almost like you're trying to justify in your head, like, I have the right to be a fan. I'm not a fucking poser, right? Yeah. But then I do remember it was weird when the Giants came to play the Padres, and I had a bunch of friends from college that came down, and it was like unsettling, right? Because you're sitting there going, I hadn't thought about this the whole rest of the year. I'm just rooting for the Padres, and my job depends on it. It's like, I like the fucking Padres. But then there was something weird watching all your friends wear Giants hats from where you're from, and then rooting for the Padres, almost in like a, what's going on? Like, it was kind of, it's just a trip how it gets you to reconcile it. But you know, so hopefully you can create that in business. It's not the same, right? If I like fucking Togo's, I don't feel weird when I walk into Subway.
Yeah.
But there's certain things that it does that I don't know why. But I think if we can start defining those things, we're talking about creating these brand decks for each of these companies, that we can start thinking about, like, what are we trying to, what are those anchor points that are going to get that loyalty? What are those connections we can create? You know, even with Notchery, right? We get the things where people come in. There's a certain time of year where every third person that comes in is someone trying to raise fucking money for some school.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like, it's frustrating at times because you're like, you're trying to provide good service and it's like, and it's never like, you know, it's kind of one of the things where you want, like, just walk in, slap it on the counter, and just write down how much money you need. And, you know, like,
yeah,
it's kind of like, I don't need the whole spiel. I don't want to hear the whole, I don't want to, but if you're at the register and there's a line, you don't have time to be like, hey, I'm collecting money for the school and here's why, blah, 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 right? So you just find yourself, the first couple of years, we found ourselves, maybe if we knew the person somehow, it was like quick and easy. Yeah, we'll donate a gift card. But then a lot of them, you just play it off on someone else. They always, at the end of the story, they always have a form they give you, and you put the form, just put it on the counter and go, I'll make sure the manager gets that or someone gets that. And you didn't, it was one of those gray areas where you didn't throw it away because that would be being a dickhead. Mm-hmm. But you also didn't make any effort to give it to the manager. You just figured, I'll leave it up to fate. If this thing blows off the fucking counter and ends up in the garbage, it wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't do anything bad to that school. And so, but then I was listening to a podcast about restaurants, and it was talking about some guy, and he's like, how did you build up such brand loyalty? And he's like, you know, I just did is every time someone came in, as annoying it as it is in those seasons where everyone's coming in asking for, give me this, I just decided, wait a minute, I'm a part of the neighborhood, and the neighborhood's asking me to get involved. So I can look at it like they're asking me for money, or I can look at it as, wow, all these people are coming in and saying, hey, without you even having to be proactive, here's a chance for you to fucking connect with the neighborhood. He goes, so I started looking at him differently, and I just decided, hey, we're saying yes to every single one of those. We're going above and beyond with those. We're not going to create a whole bunch of weird little clauses where, well, it's not valid for this, this, this on these dates. We're just going to be like, thank you for coming in here and like asking me to be a part of your neighborhood. Like,
yeah,
you're expediting. You know, if you didn't come in here and ask me, I would have had to, while I was closed, walk out and find you. So he's like, I just started looking at those things differently. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I always think of those things as like, this is good advertising for us. It's a small price to pay. Not only are we going to, we'll give them the $100 gift card or whatever it is. Well, that's $100. Now that's going to go out. And it's usually on wherever it's being done. There usually is like a poster, or they're sent out on an email. So this is even more people. And then those people come into the restaurant. They eat. They like it. They come back again. That's money, right?
So you would say, I would say, just listening to this, it would be like you're either connecting with the community for loyalty, or you're connecting to the person also. So I guess
it's twofold.
Yeah. And when you connect to community, you're hoping that then the people that are in the community is one of the most important things to them. So you become part of the community. So like you get like their loyalty. Mm-hmm. So it's in a way, it's still all about one-to-one. You know, why do you like this? Like we still get people that come in and actually asking for the toys we gave out. We made all these like little vinyl toys from when we first opened, right?
Yeah.
And figured, oh, if kids got that on his fucking cabinet somewhere. You know, it's weird. When I worked at AutoWeb, they asked me to they're like, we need a fucking giveaway for the, I don't know what the show's called, but it's the North American Car Dealers, whatever the fucking show is. So I got these little squishy toys made that was like a little VW bug, and it had like the AutoWeb thing on the side, right? And then what was crazy was when I met Gabby, who's my wife, when I we'd been dating for a little bit, we went to her mom's house. When her mom had all this random shit, I don't know where she got it all from, but in her house on the shelf was a little fucking one of the AutoWeb squishy toys. I was like, where the fuck did you get this from, right?
Yeah.
But that wasn't my point.
Okay.
My point was, if you grew up like, you know, you went to a game or you did something and you like, they give you something and you put it on your shelf, it's different when you grew up with it, because you'll always be like, oh yeah, I had this, like, why do you have this fucking Earthquakes? Like I still remember, part of the reason I was probably a Tottenham fan is I had this little Tottenham, they have these little like flags, commemorative flags they give out at certain games, and I had one from like the UEFA Cup or something. And it was just like, My parents probably got it for me. I probably wanted it, but it was just on my wall forever. Mm. It just, you know, you just see that logo. It just gets ingrained in your head, ingrained. I tried little things. Like I tried to stick on Luke's bathroom door a little fucking Tottenham's thing. It says like Luke's room, but it has the Tottenham logo, right? It's just, so he just looks at it every day. I'm like, yeah, I'll get into his head. So when he's older, he'll be like nostalgic for, oh yeah, that logo. It's like been there my whole life. I've always seen it. Like it'll mean something.
Whenever I see a Royals, a Kansas City Royals thing, it's because when I was a kid, I had a big, huge Royals fan, right? So like I had pennants and I had stuff all over my room. I collected all the baseball cards. And so like whenever I see a Royals thing, I'm immediately like, oh yeah.
God, that's so crazy.
Yeah. I like hoarded Brett Saberhagen rookie cards.
You know what I get nostalgic for? Electronics, old stereos. I'm not joking. Because that was like.
You sure nostalgic is the right word?
I think so.
You're creeping us out a little
no,
bit.
No, it is.
No, I hear you.
No, I mean, I know it is the right word, but I'm talking about in your particular situation.
Well, he like, had a look in his eye like, fuck, did I use the wrong word?
He got a little frantic. It's like, whoa, whoa. Old electronics.
Yeah, because that was kind of our thing. My dad and I, we used to just electronics. Like when I see good guys, when I used to see, I used to get a little teary-eyed.
What was the thing you say you collect? Remember you telling us once you go collect, like, is it old instruments or something?
Yeah, I try and collect old instruments. I had a bunch years ago, and then, 2008, I sold them all because I kind of needed the cash. But I'm starting it up again. I'm trying to start it up again. So.
Cool.
But
I like this mocked. I still feel mocked over this this AutoWeb squishy toy.
Oh, really?
I mean, I just feel like that's...
It was a beautiful story.
I'm not sharing anything anymore. I'm a fucking dud.
No.
My personal life is off limits.
My awe was genuine.
I'd be heartless like you guys.
No, my awe was genuine. I will say that.
Yeah. It was weird, though.
It was super creepy.
I mean, that car was just guiding me through life.
That was.
Yeah. Creepy. I
mean, when shit like that pops up, yeah.
Yeah, brother.
Well.
Oh, it looks like someone just turned Ozark on. What do we got? What happened?
It's a good show.
We have a TV showing a fireplace.
The trailer starts in 3 seconds.
Yes.
It's a really good show. The fireplace ran out.
You know what's weird? I feel like when the fireplace is on the TV, I start sweating more than when it's not.
It's dropping hints on you.
It gets warmer in here for sure, yeah.
So I guess that's loyalty. I guess...
That's all we got.
Yeah. This is going to be coming out tomorrow. I guess we got to make some predictions for UFC.
But that's not... Oh, yeah, before that. Wait.
Because it comes out tomorrow, so
But the UFC's in 2 weeks.
So. Oh, you're right. Never mind. Yeah. Never mind. Sorry. I'm taking off on Saturday.
You're taking off.
We're all still rattled by Julio just gave up $4 million.
I know. I'm still... We got to...
Giants, Niners, Nacharia, and...
I'm going to show up to work...
The Netherlands.
Tomorrow or like next week, and there's going to be a $4 million check on my desk, and Nick is going to be like, you can't touch that. And
I'll be like, no, I can't. If there's a $4 million check on your desk, we're all going to grab it and pay to the order of...
Yeah, pay to the order ourselves. Of Jim Kirk's.
I will... Gladly. Well, you would. How much would you? Well, no, you don't count.
I would do. I mean, what?
Tottenham. What? If you were told like you got to rescind all fanhood
for $1 million, I would definitely pick another team.
Bullshit. Really?
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. No, I couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, I like a lot of teams, but I mean, $1 million.
I'm trying to think.
$1 million. I'm good. I'll fucking.
Yeah. I'll see you later. Yeah.
Just no. I wouldn't root for Arsenal or like. I wouldn't root for the.
There
Broncos,
you go. That's well. Yeah. Maybe.
But give me all these other teams.
Oh yeah. Let's say the $1 million is like okay, $1 million, and you have to root for the Broncos. That would be hard for me too. I'd be like.
Ugh. Yeah, and you have to root for the. Yeah,
and you have to wear a Broncos shirt like.
I wouldn't do
100 days out of the year.
Someone said you are. You can't be a Giants fan, but you have to be a Dodgers fan. I wouldn't do it for $5 million.
Dude, I would tattoo Dodgers across my chest.
Seriously? No. Hell no.
Yeah. I had a...
Like, who's this team? Is it baseball? Okay, yeah, just go ahead and
do it. Dodgers are a game away from a game ahead of the Cardinals for the second wild card spot. The Giants play the Dodgers this weekend. If the Giants beat them all three games and the Cardinals win... then there's a chance the Dodgers won't make it. I'm going to watch all three of those games. The Giants haven't done anything substantial this year, but God, if the Dodgers do not make the playoffs, that'll be the happiest day of the year for me.
I had a Pedro Guerrero.
Second happiest. We found out I had a baby. Second happiest.
I had a Pedro Guerrero poster on my wall when I was a kid. I don't know what I was going to say. I don't
know. Loyalty.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll do it for $1 million. I'll pick another team.
All right.
If you would pick another team for $1 million, tweet us and tell us which team.
Yes, I want to know.
And if it's the Jaguars, we'll send you a fucking Jagwagon T-shirt.
And scenarios for Julio to switch out of being a Niners fan.
Yeah,
like I'm curious. Somebody's got to come up with something cool.
What if we're gonna chop your finger off if you don't give up on the Niners?
Physical harm. Mm. I have a very low pain threshold too.
Love Fraser, you're a fucking Niners fan recently. Jesus. We didn't talk about Mayans.
I was going to say, yeah, we haven't.
Well,
we'll do that on Monday.
Yeah, perfect. All right. If you like what you hear, follow us on Instagram at the Startup Addict, Twitter, Startup_Addict, YouTube,
start searching. 30 more
for YouTube? Sweet.
Sweet.
Thanks for the loyalty.
Hit that subscribe button, just like, you know.
Yeah,
you're on YouTube watching videos of Marvel
just,
and stuff.
Just do it.
Just hit the little subscribe thing.
Yeah, what do we got to do?
Yeah, we'll pay you $1 million.
No, we won't.
Just kidding. No. Stop that. Okay. And then I guess that's it. So goodbye. So long.